lights just going here.
I thought maybe you thought I got raptured there for a minute. Well, you know, you get old and take medication and you can't wait too long, amen. How many of you know about that in this day and age? You know, well, I know you do. Well, praise the Lord. Over in the book of Matthew tonight in chapter 2 with me. Matthew in chapter 2. It has already been good, I think, yesterday. I enjoyed my time here with you folks yesterday, and I always enjoy the fellowship. I'm looking forward to a little bit of fellowship afterwards tonight, amen, because there's always good food during the fellowship time, amen. I don't know who did all the bacon tonight. I saw you bring something in. Anybody else bring something in? Anybody else bring?
Oh.
Oh, you got the iced tea, yeah. All right, you're safe. Okay, yes. You always got something to say, don't you? Amen. Yeah, amen. Well, this evening, Matthew chapter 2, and of course, Matthew chapter 1, you see the genealogy of Jesus from the beginning to him, and then you see the birth of Jesus, amen, and you see the whole scenario there. But you come to chapter 2, and the Bible says this. I want to begin reading in verse 2. Somebody might think this is an unusual text to be reading during a revival meeting, but the Lord kept on bringing this back in my mind again today. Old message. I hope I can read my writing on this thing. I haven't preached this in years, but I was studying for some stuff, other stuff upstairs, the book of 2 John, brother, and the Lord just brought this back in my mind and would not let me get away from it. And I brought all my notes with me from Michigan. I got every note I've ever preached, I got some of this handwritten. These are printed. I got some that are cursive. I can't read them, man. It's terrible. I have to decipher my own handwriting, amen. Anybody else like that besides me? I print everything now, you know. So the Bible says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the years or in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We sing that song, We Three Kings of Orient Are, you know. It doesn't say they were kings, it said they were wise men, amen. And we're going to look tonight for a little bit, in just a few minutes here. I want to preach a thought to you tonight on what really made the wise men wise. What made the wise men wise? And that's what I'm going to look into this evening here for a little bit. So let's just pray, and then we're going to get into the message. Father, thank you for your precious word and the privilege again you've given to us to be able to come to it, Father, and to look at it. And Lord, I pray tonight there'll be some things, some thoughts from this message that will challenge our hearts again, Lord, that we might desire to be wise in our Christian lives, to honor and to glorify you, to magnify your precious name, Father. Thank you for the prayer time already, Father, tonight, and just the lifting up of our hearts and our voices to you, Lord, and that you would have all the honor and glory now. We give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I almost said you may be seated. Last night when I had you, when I finished preaching, I almost said, close your feet and open your eyes. You do that, Pastor. You don't do that stuff. No, I didn't think you did. Amen. What cracks me up is the young guys, when they start to doing it, I said, don't worry, it only gets worse. It only gets worse. Amen. As we look at this thought here this evening, and I'm not going to read this whole text until we're just going to go out through it and look at a few things. But what brought them to the place where that made them wise? Well, when he see this, he says in verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. For we have seen his star in the east. Well, I wrote down in my notes, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this thought down. What made them wise? What made the wise men wise? Well, number one, they studied the word of God. See, you got that out of the book of Isaiah. So they had Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3. And so they had to, in fact, go there with me, Isaiah chapter 60. Let's just run over there real quick, and we'll just show you what was going on. So they studied, Pastor, how'd they get the copy of the word? I don't know. Amen. I don't know, but they knew the word. Because not only do they quote out of the book of Isaiah this thought, but they also quote out of the book of Micah on another thought here in a little bit. And so they knew, somehow they knew the writings of the Word of God. And they studied them. They weren't just astrologers that looked up and said, oh, something's going to happen one day because this star moved here and this star. No, no. They were reading the very Word of God. Over in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3, it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I always believed, Pastor, and nobody has to agree with me, but I believe that star that they saw, I believe that was the glory of God, amen, because it goes, then it comes out again and shows them and leads them right over Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to thy brightness of thy rising. That's where they got the idea of the star. They saw this. There's other scripture to deal with that. But the main thought here is they got this idea. Why? Because they were wise. Why? Because they studied the very Word of God. I do not think that these were Jewish men. These were Gentiles that had got a hold of the Isaiah, got a hold of Micah, got a hold of the Bible that they had up until the writing somehow. They got a copy of the Word of God, and they read it, and it made them wise because they were reading the Word of God. I wonder how wise we are today. I wonder how wise we could be. I wonder how wise we would be if we would consider the things in the very Word of God. So they've seen the star in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Matthew chapter 2, look with me, get back to Matthew chapter 2, and down to verse 5 and 6, says, and they said unto him, he said, well, where have you got this from? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem, Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. And he says, let me tell you where he gets that out of real quick. Go to, I got it written down here. I got to look for it again. Because I told you these are printed notes, and I got to make sure I know where I'm at. Amen. Well, Micah in chapter, now I lost what chapter it was, I can't see it. Chapter 5, is that where it was at? Over in the book of Micah. So you can turn over there real quick if you want to. All right, preacher, since you know where it's at, then you tell me what verse I need, because I cannot see it in my notes. Verse 2. Verse 1 says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel, and a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. They knew the Word of God. These three come because they had read something, and then they see this glory of God. They see this star in the sky, and they begin to follow it. You know what amazes me, Pastor, is people in Jerusalem did not recognize it. They did not understand. But here's three that are not Jewish. Here's three Gentiles that recognized what was going on. Why? Because they were wise. Why? Because they had been involved in reading the very Word of God. And then look with me, if you will, in the book of Isaiah again, in chapter 60. And we're going to just look at one verse, down to verse 6. The Bible says this, the multitudes of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and the ephah, all they that from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. And that's exactly what these three did. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, these spices, these incenses, and gold before the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, my friend, we need to understand. The Bible tells you and I to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. We need to rightly divide. We need to know what the Bible says. to me, it was a sad day, because I get in so many churches and I meet so many people. Now, for 34 years now, and a half pastor, almost 35 years in evangelism, and I see so many people that do not know their Bible. I get in some churches yet where I watch guys who have been saved for 20 and 30 years, still can't find books in a Bible. No, I struggle. I get over into those minor prophets sometimes. I think, all right, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. All right, I'll get it figured out eventually, amen. But I'm talking about they couldn't find hardly Exodus or Leviticus. And they've been saved for 10, 15, 20 years. There's a problem there, amen. And I think we just ought to, and I know Tracy, he got a Bible with a little tab. I like them, man, amen. I don't have one. I wish I did sometimes, hallelujah, amen. I really do. But, you know, we just need to be in the Word of God. We need to learn to study the Word of God. Now, you don't get study just from coming to the house of God, amen. Although that's where most people get their study. That's where most people get their Bible reading, when they come into the house of God. That's where most people get their Bible study, their Bible time, is in the house of God. And most of them, Pastor, are only Sunday morning Christians. They don't come back Sunday night. They don't come back to Sunday school, if you have Sunday school. They don't come to Wednesday night. They don't come out to anything else. Amen? They don't read their Bibles. We need the Bible. You want to be a wise individual? Be in the very Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Like we tell Timothy after his study shows up proven of God in chapter 2, verse 15. Verse 16 says this, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." So he said, you study this so that you know how to deal with this. Amen? He says, shun vain and profane babbling. So we need to know this that we might combat that, not in somebody else's life, in our life. Because somebody could be saying something to me, and if I'm going to argue with them, you know, what good's it going to do if they're just being idiots? You were an idiots at school. I just want to argue about every little thing. No, you weren't for teenagers. That would never happen. No, that would never happen. Amen. Sure, we do. But we need to get into the very Word of God. He said, "But shun profane and vain things, babblings, profane things that are wicked and heathenistic, vain, empty sounding, fruitless dissension, babblings." The same word is used for vain as used for profane. All right, what made them wise? Well, one thing that made them wise is they studied the very Word of God. Amen. Would you agree with that? I think they studied. That's how they knew where to go. That's how they knew what to bring. That's how they knew where he was going to be at. Bethlehem, Judah. I mean, that's where they were going, man. You know, they were looking for him. And not just following the star, but they saw the star. And said, hey, that's it. That's where we need to be. And they followed that star in, and they just knew where they needed it. They read about Bethlehem, Judah. They knew where that was at. So that's where they're headed. Yep, so that's where the star's at. Yep, we got it. We're going. And they show up, man. They read the Word of God. Amen. They were wise because they studied the very Word of God. What else made them wise? Well, they believed the Word of God. They didn't just study the Word of God. You can study the Word of God all you want, but do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe what he tells you in his word? Do you believe that here's what some people have to start with. Do you believe that he loves you? Amen. Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe he shed his blood for you? Do you believe he rose again the third day? Do you believe the things about God? But then not just that, but you need to believe the word of God. And he tells us in his word how we should live and what we should be doing as believers in Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 2, let's go back to Matthew chapter 2, because I'm going to give you the wrong verse if I'm not careful. Matthew chapter 2, again, verse 2. He says, saying, "Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, watch, and are come to," what? "Worship him." Well, that's what we just read over in Isaiah chapter 60, when you got down there to verse 4 and 5, that they came to worship him with gold and precious spices. So he come. They have not only just read his word, but now they believe his word and believe they should accomplish what his word says. Not just to go to find the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Not just to go to find this one who's going to rule over Israel one day. But now they're going to do it the way that the Bible says it should be done. They're bringing the gold. They're bringing the myrrh. They're bringing the incense. They're bringing these frankincense to them that they could worship him. He said, they said, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. What made them wise? Well, they obeyed and they believed the word of God. Now they worship the Lord. They worship the Lord. I wonder how we worship the Lord today. Amen. Sometimes, Pastor, I'm wondering if maybe, and I love musical instruments, amen, but I wonder sometimes when we have musical instruments if we miss the act of worshiping him because we're listening to the musical instruments rather than. I think we need music in the church. Amen. Don't get me wrong on this. But I think sometimes we miss an act of worship because we focus in so much on what that instrument's doing, how good that piano player is, how good the musician is, how good the guitar sound, and we miss, I think, sometimes what we ought to really be doing between us and the Lord. Now, don't stop playing guitar, Pastor, because I said that. Amen. I would be embarrassed if you did. Amen. So you all let me know now if he does. He said, I'm not going to play it anymore because Brother Mike, that's not what I mean by that. Amen? You understand that. So you keep him straight. Keep him straight. You know, let him do his bebop. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 2, verse 5, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, you will find this in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That's what I was looking at earlier. I got ahead of myself. I found it's written right here. Amen. I found it right there. If only you and I would believe the word of God this way. If we would just believe what the way they did. Just believe it. The Bible, they read it and they said, this is truth, this is real. Just believe it. If you and I would just believe this way, our Christian lives would be much more full of joy and hope and happiness. Amen. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being happy as a Christian. Amen. Now, there's been some times when I've had miserable days. Amen. Anybody else besides me in here? Once you get the miserable days once in a while. But you know, anytime I've been in the hospital, I try to make the nurses laugh. I really do. I'm probably going to go out laughing with one of them sometime and die, you know, from it. I'm just telling you, I try to make fun with them and pick on the doctors when they come in. I witnessed every one of them, brother. They get tired of coming in to see me. One of them said one time, well, don't go into his room. You don't want to go in there. And she said, why? He said, because all you're going to do is talk to you about Jesus. Amen. And praise the Lord. I'm glad. So I got known as the Jesus patient. Hallelujah. I had one Pentecostal nurse. I told her about Jesus and how I was saved, and she started dancing in the room, man. It was something else, you know. I was like, woo, okay, Lord, whatever you got going here, amen. We need to simply trust God and made them wise, and they believed, not just did they study the Word, but they believed the Word. Matthew chapter 7. Just for a moment, Matthew chapter 7. We'll be back in chapter 2 in a little bit. Over Matthew in chapter 7. And I think this is what I want. Verse 21 to verse 23, he says this. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Well, we begin doing that by trusting Jesus Christ. Amen. Not just by saying it, but by trusting and by believing his word. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So listen, my friend, we need to not just read the word, we need to believe the word. He said, there's going to be many that said, but they never believed. We've done this, Lord. We've cast out devils. We've healed. We've done all these things. Boy, that just brings me back to the thinking of what goes on in our nation today with some churches. Amen. You can't help but dwell. And I'm not saying Pastor, I'm not saying there's not people in those groups that aren't saved. I believe there are some genuine born-again believers saved by the very grace of God. But they're being led in the wrong direction. And some people are putting all their stock in what they can do by speaking in tongues and by laying on the hands and all these things rather than in the truth of the Word of God. We need to come back to the very Word of God as believers in Jesus Christ. He says in John, well, you know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Believeth in who? In Him. We need to believe in Him. Trust Him. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. He has rejected Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You know it very well, don't you? 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. We need to simply believe and trust what God says for us in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find out that my believing seems to be lacking believing. Was that confusing? Sometimes my believing is lacking believing. Amen. I say I believe, but I'm not believing like I ought to believe. Not trusting the way I ought to trust. Not doing what I ought to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that we are doing what God would have us do. Well, now listen, not only did they study the Word of God, not only did they believe, once they studied it and saw it, not only did they believe it, but the third thought I have written down here is they practiced the Word of God. What made them wise? They practiced the Word of God. They didn't just read it. They just didn't believe it. But now they went out and they did something with it. They followed the truth of the very Word of God. And they were not ashamed. In fact, go to Romans chapter 10. Well, I'll read it to you. Romans 10, 11. I'll just quote it to you. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be, what? Ashamed. And they were not ashamed. You say, what do you mean by they were not ashamed, Brother Mike? Well, they boldly stated, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Amen? Where's he? Where is this ruler that is talked about in the book of Isaiah? Where is this one? Where is this governor that he talks about in the beginning of Matthew here? Where is this King of the Jews? Where is he? They believed, and so now they don't just believe, but now they practice the Word. They were not ashamed. And they're before Herod, and they're telling him, we have come to worship this one who's going to be the King of the Jews. So they're not afraid to talk to him about that. They boldly stated, where is he, the one that is born, the King of the Jews? Not only were they bold in asking where he was, but they were also not ashamed in their purpose for coming. Because they said, where is he? And then they said this, and are come to worship him. We've come to worship him. They're not afraid. They're not afraid to say in front of the world. That amazes me. And here we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Here these men were led by the light. They were led by the Word of God. They believed the Word of God. And now they come into Bethlehem and they're saying, where is this King of Jews? For we have come to worship Him. It just amazes me how born-again believers are so afraid to stand up and stand up in the world today and say, I'm a Christian. What's the world going to do to you? What's the worst that can happen? I mean, the worst that can happen is to kill us, and then we're going to be in glory, amen? And what's the next thing worse? Somebody said, well, man, they might spit on me. Well, so what? Good night. I've been spit on before, amen? You can't be sitting in front row preaching very much while I get spit on you. Sooner or later, amen? I'm just simply saying, my friend, we need to believe in what the very Word of God says and are come to worship Him. And so they practiced along with us believing, they practiced this, and they studied, they practiced, they followed the things of God, they believed in their practice, the words, so they were not, because they believed, because they were practicing what they did, they were not... hindered by obstacles that were in front of them. Why? They just did what they were supposed to do. It doesn't matter what the king... In fact, what did the king say? You find him and you come and tell us. They never did they? You tell me where he's at. What a thought that these men were not ashamed, were not afraid to stand up in the midst of the world and say, we've come to worship him, and we've come to see, where is he? We've come to see him and to worship him. Even though Herod or no one else could answer them, they still relied on God. They couldn't give an answer. They still relied on it. They practiced the word by rejoicing in this thing. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in the heart. Listen, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. That thought of rejoicer is like, wahoo! Be excited, amen. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Amen. Well, we ought to just rejoice, amen, and not be afraid to rejoice. You say, Brother Mike, I can't be boisterous like you, or I can't maybe throw my hand up in the air and shout glory. No, but let your face know what's going on in your heart. Amen. It's in here. Let people know that you're. Listen, are you in love with Jesus or not? He's in love with you. Amen. Died for you. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't die for you. I'm with my grandkids or my wife. I'm not sure about my son-in-laws, but my daughters, amen. I'm just saying, you know, we need to get this thing in the right order of worshiping God. They practiced by worshiping. And when in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, the first part of the verse says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. That's a sign of humbleness, man. These three wise men, these three men, and no doubt in my mind, Pastor, had some riches. I think they had some riches. They owned their own camel. They didn't go down to the camel lot and rent something from King Arthur. No, they didn't go down to the camel lot, you know, and rent a camel. This was theirs, man. They owned these things. This was all theirs. These men had some. They had some influence, man. I tell you, and yet they came in humbleness of heart and bowed down before the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 14. I tell you, this man speaking about the Pharisee and the publican in the Bible. He says, I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, I look at these three in Scripture, Pastor, and I think that they have been exalted. They're in the Word. Their names aren't there, but they're in the Word of God. Well, what a privilege to be shown in the Word of God. I think the Lord lifted them up. They humbled themselves before Jesus Christ, His Son. Abase means to humiliate. He said, boy, if they exalt themselves, then they will be abased. It means to humiliate in condition or heart. And God said, well, I'll bring them down. I'll put them where they belong. Amen. And they worshiped, not just worshiped them in humbleness, but they worshiped them by giving. By giving. Yeah, and I think this is probably one of the most giving churches I get to, brother. I mean it. I'm just telling you. I watch what you do with your missions. I watch what you do with your evangelists and preachers when they come in here, and how you take care of them. This is a giving church. I would not say that you're not giving a giving people, amen. But you can only give what God has given you, amen. You can't give as much as maybe somebody else, but you still need to give your portion as a believer in Jesus Christ. It says, when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Bible says they came into the house where he was at. He still wasn't in the stable, amen. He's out of the stable by now. He's in the house. How old was he? I have no idea. Who knows? doesn't matter how old he was. The fact is that they worshipped him, and they opened their gifts up and presented them to him, what, as king, as Lord. The Bible says to you and me, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me ask you a question. Where is your treasure? What do people see about you, children see about you, nephews and nieces see about you, grandchildren see about you, as the place of your heart? What do they see in your heart? What do they see about you in your act of worship to God? What do they see about you in your treasure? What do they see do you treasure? Let me ask you a question. Do you treasure the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you practice the believing? Do you practice that in the Word of God? And then I wrote down another one. Do you rejoice in the Word of God? Sometimes I read something in the Bible when I'm studying, and I'll just sit there and say, well, thank you, Lord. Amen. I've read that 100 times and probably have never saw that one thought before. Because you get the reading. You just get the reading. Anybody else besides me, like, you just get the reading sometimes. And you miss things. Like you were saying tonight, Pastor, when you heard that preacher making those statements, all of a sudden a light came on. The light's not as bright as it used to be. It's more like a little night light now. But it still flickers in there, amen. And sometimes I got to hit the reset switch, you know, to get that thing kicking in and doing what it ought to do. But do you study? Do you believe? Do you practice? Do you rejoice in the things of God's Word? We ought to, amen. We ought to. What made the wise men wise? Well, they studied the Word. They believed the Word. They practiced the Word, amen. And I believe they rejoiced in the Word. That's the point I'm adding to this that I just looked at this afternoon when I was going over this message. I just put that one in there for you. No scripture with it yet. That's just a special one you get free, amen. But we ought to. We ought to rejoice in the things of God's Word. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And I'm going to ask the same question I ask every night. You say, Brother Mike, you know we're all saying, listen, I'm going to tell you, my friend, I've seen people who sat in services and then all of a sudden got saved after 10 or 12 revival meetings in a row. So I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying if you're not sure, make sure tonight, please. Anybody just slip your hand up and say, Mike, pray for me. I'm just not sure. I'd love to pray for you. Love to take you and hold you up before the Lord. I don't see any hands. I hope. I believe you are from what I see in your lives and for talking to you. Second question is this, Mike, would you just pray for me? Pray for me. There's some areas in my Christian life where I see where I need to be wise. I'm not going to go down through all these, but maybe you just slip your hand and say, that's me right now. God bless you. Amen. Others, how about it? God bless you. Amen. Anybody else tonight? How about it? Let's be honest with each other. Amen. Let's just be honest with each other. Let God do what He wants to do His way and His timing. And Father, thank You for these who raised their hand, Lord. You know, Father, the heart. God, sometimes we think we know people's hearts. And Father, there's just no way we can. And Father, You do. You put Your Spirit within us, and He cries out to You in moanings and groanings that we cannot utter, Father, when we come before You, Father, in humbleness and broken heart. God, I pray for these tonight to raise their hands, strengthen them, Father, help them tonight to bring honor and glory to Your name in their lives. We'll give You the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip out and why don't you come? And why don't you take care of that tonight?
number 57. Let's just dismiss with this hymn, praise the Lord, cleanse me. And let's have that in our prayer this week and tonight. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Father, thank you that we can meet tonight. Thank you for what we've seen and heard. Thank you for each decision, each prayer that's been lifted to you. Touch in a special way. Bring us back at the appointed time tomorrow, and we'll praise you and thank you in the name of Christ. Amen. Lord bless you. There's food in the kitchen. And tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.